step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Well, I wouldn't expect any more from three stupid cougars.
Yeah, dumb cougars.
You're looking for tickets for the Hawks in the fall. VenueKings.com has every game, home and road. I saw where tickets for the game in Germany have not been released as well, so those are starting to hit the market. $300 plus to get in the door for the game with the Broncos in week one, but week two, a little cheaper, $82 to get in the door for the Seahawks against Marcus Mariota. The game in Germany. Let me look this up real quick. Tampa Bay Buccaneers loading.
Yeah, just got released, I saw.
Loading. Yeah, they're not available yet at VenueKings.com. But tickets are out there.
So they are out there.
Have at it.
They're in the they were pretty similar to Seahawks tickets costs. So.
NBA Finals. I mean, if you're flying to Germany, you're probably not concerned about how much the ticket costs to go to the game, right? Don't you think?
Yes.
NBA Finals Thursday game one, Boston Golden State. Warriors going for their fourth championship under Steve Kerr. They are now in the NBA Finals for the sixth time in 8 years. The Boston Celtics, you said this on Friday's show, have been in how many of the NBA Finals appearances all time?
It was half of the Eastern Conference Finals. Every Eastern Conference Finals have featured the Boston Celtics.
Very impressive. Well, you got what you wanted. San Francisco versus Boston starting Thursday in Game 1.
Rasir Bolton has pulled his name out of the draft. He will be returning to Gonzaga next season. The Zags have a rematch of the 2021 National Championship game with Baylor on December 2nd in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Why is it in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
I don't know.
Is there a big recruit living there?
Maybe.
Seriously.
I mean, let's go to Sioux Falls in December. That sounds like a heck of a vacation.
You know why?
You know, I was just going to say, did we ever ask the board if we could actually talk about the Zags? Because last I checked, the rule still applies.
It's a story. It's a news story.
I think he's right.
I don't know.
Got to get permission from the board.
Yep.
We can discuss this at our meeting on Thursday.
Yes,
we
will.
At the Ram.
Stupidity.
NHL tonight, Wessels, game number one, Edmonton, Colorado, over on the A on 9:50 a.m. tomorrow. East Final game number one, Tampa and the New York Rangers. All right, let's get to John Wilner right now.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
Jackson's saying there's a moratorium still on Zag's talk on the radio show.
Have not had an official vote?
Has the moratorium been lifted?
I thought it was just through the NCAA tournament. I was a very good sport.
I thought it was all time.
Yeah.
Well, hell, if there's ever a year where you don't want the Zags to get mentioned, it's that one.
Well, they still made the Sweet 16.
Beat by Arkansas on this Saturday of Thursday of the Sweet 16.
So we're now getting to the point where the Sweet 16 now is an epic failure. That's how good Gonzaga is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
don't
you think? You think Kentucky's happy in the Sweet 16 or Duke or North Carolina? Of course they're not happy in the Sweet 16. Don't act like that's a victory for you, by the way.
They're the only team with six straight years.
Oh, whatever. SimplySeattle.com, 20% off the entire website right now. You got your eye on something, now's the time to buy. Here he is, the Pope of the Pac-12, John Wilner, joining us on the air. How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. Let's talk about the article that you came out with. I think it was today. It could have been yesterday, though. Time flies when you're having fun, and I lose track. The easiest to hardest schedules in the Pac-12 for 2022, and we want to know where the Huskies rank on that list. Go.
Pretty soft schedule for the Huskies, I'd say. You know, Michigan State's good. That's a good challenge, but all three of their non-conference games are at home. And they don't play – the big thing is they don't play USC or Utah. I mean, that's a result of the schedule rotation, not of Kalen DeBoer asking the conference office for mercy, but it still certainly affects how you view the degree of difficulty for their overall schedule.
And yet you still have them, what, like fourth in the North? What did you have the Huskies in the North?
Yeah, I mean, so, as much as the North matters now, right? I would say if you're just going to kind of forget about the divisions and where does Washington rank, I would say they're probably 1, 2, 3, you know, 6th or 7th in the conference, maybe.
You really don't like them at all.
1 through 12.
Yeah.
1 through 12.
So if they had the hardest schedule, you'd think they'd be going like 1 and 11 next year, right?
I think if they had Utah and USC on there, I would certainly be putting them closer to the bottom, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, there's no doubt the schedule is easy from a perspective of they don't play Utah and USC, and they get all their non-conference games at home, and they play Michigan State at home. But, you know, look, obviously every single year there's a team or two that surprises people, and that easy schedule doesn't look so easy. Skipping Utah or USC looks great now, but, you know, what if USC loses Caleb Williams or, you know, Utah loses, what's the guy's name, Rising, mm-hmm. and he goes down, and all of a sudden they're not as good. You would have loved to have played those teams. So let's talk about some surprise teams then. Where are the teams that aren't getting love that should be getting more love than they deserve this year, you think?
Well, to me, one of them is in Pullman, Washington.
Ooh,
I've got to say, yeah. I think they're going to be pretty good. They got a lot of guys back, and I think their quarterback, the transfer from Incarnate Word, is going to be a very good player. One of the most impactful newcomers in the conference, more impactful than any of the Washington quarterbacks, you know, Penix, any of those guys. I think he's really good, and I think the Cougars have a chance. Well, I was going to say to win the North, but they have a chance to be the best conference record in the North, put it that way.
Looking at the conference as a whole, what jumped out to you about the schedule that was released? Some matchups, timing, you know, what kind of jumped out at you?
I think the big thing is there's 9 or 10 games in the first 3 weeks of the season that are on broadcast television, right? CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, that's where you get you got 100 million eyeballs potentially, right, on broadcast television.
Yeah.
And so that's a great chance for the Pac-12 early in the season to change the narrative and show people it's not going to take these bad losses to Group of Five teams. It's going to win some of these high-profile games against the Power Five. And if you can do that early, that narrative sticks for the whole season. On the other hand, if you lose some of these games, like the Pac-12 did last year, that narrative sticks all season too. So there's no lack of exposure.
Yeah.
It's now just about going out and winning the games.
You know, I want to go back to this Cam Ward proclamation for a second because something's not sitting well with me. You and others say that Cam Ward is going to be so great. He's going to be so awesome. He's going to take Wazoo to new heights. I mean, I don't know. Based on what? Based on his Southeast Louisiana game? I mean, the guy played nobody at Incarnate Word. What has he done at that level of football that gives you any idea that he can flourish here in the Pac-12? What are you basing all this on?
That's all guesswork.
Yeah, right. At least you admit it, Wilner.
Well, there's a couple things that have, I think, actual substance behind it. One is that he knows the offense cold because this is the same offense he used at Incarnate Word. So you don't have a deal where a transfer quarterback is coming in, stepping up in quality of play and having to learn a new playbook because his old head coach is now the offensive coordinator. That's one. And I do think this is a case of a kid who, for various reasons, was completely under-recruited, right? He should have been playing. He should have been in a Power 5 school coming out of high school, and he wasn't. That's clear. And I talked to a scout who watched him play and said the guy's got big-time talent.
I'm not buying it.
That first criteria is also met by Michael Penix, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Are they going to run the exact same offense that Indiana was running?
No, it's Kalen DeBoer's offense. Kalen DeBoer was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, did they run it last year, the last 2 years at Indiana? I don't know. I'm sure there's some familiarity. I just think with Penix, I don't know. Is he going to be healthy? I mean, you can't discount that issue, right? The biggest, the best predictor of injuries is injuries. Mm-hmm. And he's had a couple of pretty serious injuries.
Yeah. Well, I'm not buying the Cam Ward hype. I'll just go on record right now, and I'll say that. And I think, you know, the Pac-12 does the coach of the year, the offensive player of the year, the defensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, whatever it is. And there's a new award this year, the bust of the year in the Pac-12. It's now a conference award, actually. It's a Kliavkov thing. And I think Cam Ward's going to be the first winner of the bust award. He's not going to meet the hype.
Right.
I am not buying anything that you or other people are selling me on Cam Ward at all. We're going to look back at that as a major disappointment.
May 31st, 5:10?
Yeah, let's write it down.
He makes his call.
Save that audio, Jackson.
Yep.
Hey, save that audio.
Hey, what did you think, by the way?
What are you talking about, Softy? Can we get the theme for a what you talking about, Softy?
Yeah, that's fine. I think I'm just not buying it at all. What about the kid that transferred from Pittsburgh? What's his name? The wide receiver?
Patterson,
is that
Patterson.
Right? Did you hear the story about his family went to Pittsburgh to pack up his stuff and they were wearing USC gear from head to toe? Did you hear that story?
I did not hear that story. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that didn't sit very well over at Pittsburgh, but that guy, now that's a transfer who has done it at the high level.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think he's going to have a big impact.
I think I agree with you on that. I guess my question is this, because last week you came on the show, and Dick, tell me if I'm wrong. Did Wilner not say that the idea that he got $3.5 million in NIL money was hogwash?
Yes.
Is that right? Have you dug up anything on that since then that leads you to believe one way or the other that that story is either true or not true?
I believe that story is complete hogwash. I don't think anybody's getting anywhere close to. You see some reports about, millions of dollars for some of these transfers in NIL money. I think that's all hogwash. Caleb Williams, there have been these enormous sums attached to him transferring to SC. I think that's hogwash too. They have all these schools and the NIL collectives and the agents who are representing the players. They all are motivated to inflate the numbers to make the schools and the NIL collective seem more attractive to other recruits.
John, I always thought the Friday Pac-12 title game was kind of small time. And now we're finding
you're
out
not alone.
But the ratings, I guess, are actually better on Friday night than they are on Saturdays when they've had them on a Saturday?
The two lowest rated championship games were both on Saturdays.
It's amazing.
The way this whole thing started off was ESPN and Fox, they alternate, and ESPN chose to do their first two on Saturdays. That was 2013 and 2015 on Saturdays. They're the two lowest rated.
Yeah.
Fox has been going on Friday all along, and ESPN realized we're going to switch. I mean, there's no competition, right? And if you're doing it on Saturday, you're going up exact same time as Big Ten and ACC because they're both 5 o'clock starts also.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you can be, the only game in town, people are desperate for programming and content, then I think it is a smart move. What should be the number one driver, though, when deciding what day to play that game? Should it be attendance? Should it be what's best for the kids? Should it be ratings on television? What's the number one driver when it comes to deciding what day they play the game, and how much of an influence do the TV networks have on what day you play the game?
It's all the TV networks paying
the
Pac-12 however many hundreds of millions every year. And within the contract, they have the right to pick what day that game is played. And so they're completely motivated by ratings. Pac-12 doesn't really have much of a say in it once they sign that contract.
What else came out of the Pac-12 meetings last week that didn't include the obvious, which was moving the Pac-12 championship game to non-divisions?
I think that they're very close to just getting rid of the divisions completely. I would not be surprised if by the time we have kickoff on September, whatever it is, 3rd, that the actual standings, the visual, is just a complete 1 through 12, and there are no more divisions. Because the divisions no longer have any competitive value. It's just a visual. And I think that they're real close on that. And I also think that they are within a year or two of changing up the complete conference schedule.
So you said the Huskies have the 11th toughest schedule, second to easiest in the conference. Who's got the toughest schedule and why?
Toughest schedule is Colorado. Colorado's non-conference games are at Air Force, at Minnesota, and home against TCU.
Wow.
So they have no, there's no gimmies there. And the other thing I look at is who's your cross-division miss. And you want to miss the good teams. And Colorado, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think one of their misses is Stanford. And that's that you want to be playing Stanford, right? So those two things really, I mean, no easy non-conference games, that makes for a really tough haul.
So what do you think the changes to the schedule are going to be? I mean, do you think that more conference games, less conference games, what improves your chances at the playoffs?
Well, I think they're stuck on how many conference games they can play because the Big Ten is staying at 9. Mm-hmm. So if the Pac-12 dropped to 8, there'd be nobody to play for that extra non-conference game. You can't play a cupcake because then the TV networks will ask for their money back. So the only way going to 8 was going to work is if the Big Ten also went to 8. So I think they're stuck with 9. I think that, you know, they're going to move to away from the schedule model where it's weighted towards your division peers. And my guess is they're going to go with a pod schedule. So the Northwest schools would be a pod, and they'd play each other every year.
Right.
And then they would each have 6 rotating spots. And that actually is good for the Washington schools. It's good for all 4 of them because they play USC and UCLA more often in a pod system than they do in this division-weighted schedule.
Yeah, well, I mean, it feels like the SEC is eventually going to go to 9 games. Do you believe that we will see that change made by them soon?
Yes, I do, because with 16 teams, you can't play 8. Because you'll go 10, 12 years without playing somebody in the other division. So I think that I would be surprised if the SEC doesn't go to 9, and then that would only leave the ACC as a holdout with 8. And I can't imagine the ACC would remain a holdout for long. So after all these years of talk of the Pac-12 should drop to 8, well, it turns out the SEC is probably going to go up to 9.
John, real quick on basketball, obviously players are declaring whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to pull their names out. It sounds like USC got Boogie Ellis back. That's pretty big for that team. Do they look like a team that you think could really compete again next year?
I do think so, Boogie Ellis. And they may get Drew Peterson, their wing guard, who is a good player. He's going to decide. There are a couple big names. You know, Jules Bernard for UCLA is deciding. Arizona's got one of their starting guys. Dalen Terry has got to decide. So this next, I want to say it is 11:59 Eastern on the 1st of June. So the next 48 hours really are going to tell us a lot about how the Pac-12 is going to look next season.
Dalen Terry just announced he's staying in the draft.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock is the day. Hey, dude, John, before you go, we haven't even gotten your thoughts, and obviously a focus on the Pac-12. John Wilner with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. But the Jeff Fisher, Nick Saban, or the Jeff Fisher, the Jimbo Fisher.
Just let me handle it.
Nick Saban spat. What was your take on that, man?
I mean, it's great theater. It would never happen in the Pac-12, right? And that's both good and bad, right? The Pac-12 could use a little bit of theater of that regard to get some eyeballs on it. I kind of think that almost everything about this NIL deal is dirty, but at the same time, it's like if there's no speed limit, you can't really be caught speeding. So Saban had a lot of what he said was right. A lot of what Fisher said was right. I just kind of enjoyed watching it from afar and thinking to myself, you know, the Pac-12 could use a little bit of a villain. And you know, Lincoln Riley, it looks like he's going to play that role a little bit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that for the Pac-12 standpoint.
I think it's great, and I think they should encourage it, to be honest with you. I think the more people talking college football, the better. I'm totally with you. You think Lincoln Riley has the best chance to kind of become that guy in the conference?
I do. I think he's already moving there because of what they're doing in the transfer portal. Plus, he's SC, right? I mean, everybody still loves to hate SC. If they're really good, and he's a perfect villain, too, because, you know, there's so many potential ways you can attack him verbally if you're other schools and the fans of other schools, right? I mean, the fact that he left Oklahoma right before they were going to go into the SEC to go to SC, I mean, that's a point I'm sure fans would hammer him on. Oklahoma fans already are.
All right, man. Great stuff as always. So just do me a favor. Remember where you heard it first, that Cam Ward is going to be a total bust on this show. All right? Don't forget.
You got it.
I expect a full article written about it.
Good luck with your studio move. Right? Yeah. You guys are moving, huh?
We are. So by this time tomorrow or by this time next week, we could have maybe brought the whole place down. This thing could be gone by next Tuesday. So
like
this,
the kingdom?
Exactly.
Exactly. Imploded.
This could be it, man. So, John, it's been nice knowing you. Hopefully we'll talk in a week, man. See you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All righty, boys. I'll see you.
All right. John Wilner with us.
I think it's all hogwash.
Total hogwash. I'm not buying the Cam Ward hype. We'll come back and maybe chat more about that. Also, there's some news regarding Baker Mayfield, and it may impact the Seahawks as well. Coming up, Brian Schmetzer at 5:45 will join us and talk about the state of the Sounders FC on Softy and Dick on a busy Tuesday on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, have you heard the latest on the Baker Mayfield saga coming out of Cleveland?
The fact that Cleveland is not going to release him, that?
Correct. They are not going to for now. They're not planning on releasing Baker Mayfield. So that should make you happy because that lessens the chance of the Hawks going after him, right? For sure.
Sure, but it also, like, what's Cleveland going to say, right?
Well,
if they're going to say that we might release him, then that lowers their trade value.
I think there's a reason why the timing has come out the way it's come out, because there's a story that broke, I believe, this morning. Another woman has now filed a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. That makes 23 now overall for him. So not only are people not backing off their claims, there's more women coming out of the woodwork that are accusing Deshaun Watson of impropriety. And what Florio said, he'll be on the air with us tomorrow at 3:10, courtesy of our friends at SimplySeattle.com, is exactly right. That, you know, Deshaun Watson came out and said, well, yeah, there may have been casual sex with a few of these massage therapists, which kind of makes it come across as a little creepy, right? Like, what's going on there?
Word. Yes.
And I don't know if it helps his case to admit that he actually had sex with some of these females. I think that Cleveland, and I think a lot of people around the NFL, are starting to get to a point where they're not assuming it's going to happen, but they're pretty damn close to assuming, Dick, it's going to happen, that Deshaun Watson's going to get suspended. And he might be suspended for a decent amount of time, at which point they're going to need a quarterback. And I think it's going to be unbelievable what they have to do with Baker Mayfield when they basically went to him. Not basically, they said, we're done with you. And we're so done with you that we're going to give Deshaun Watson the most guaranteed money ever in the history of the NFL, right? It's not like we're going to go out and draft a young guy just for insurance in case you flame out. We're going to go out and put an end to your story by giving Deshaun Watson, what was it, $230 million, whatever it was, guaranteed. Some stupid number. And now they may come crawling back to him on their hands and knees, begging the guy to be their quarterback. Weren't there Browns players coming out critical of this guy, Baker?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've said, I mean, I haven't heard him, like, blast him, but there's been comments made. I just don't know how that is even tenable. I mean, you think about how good or mediocre a motivated Baker Mayfield is. What's he going to look like when he's not even motivated to play for his team? I mean, it could be a disaster. Now, it's going to end up hurting him, too. He's got to have some professionalism because he's going to be a free agent if he's let go, so he has to show some sort. It's just, I just think it's going to be hard for him to get motivated to really help the team.
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, if he gets released, you know, new environment, new leaf, all those analogies, whatever, I think he might be actually better off going somewhere else. But this just is another issue, and it's another example of how Cleveland is just cursed when it comes to that football team. Right, that they go out and they spend all this money on this guy, and now they have to go back and beg Baker Mayfield to play quarterback for them. And if I were him, you know, look, I'd be professional about it, but if things start to go sideways in a hurry in Cleveland and the team's not playing well, at that point, can you really expect anyone, including a guy who you turn your back on, to want to do anything for that franchise when his salary is guaranteed for the entire season? I mean, if he was looking at this as a tryout, meaning his contract was not being picked up for 2023, but he was the starting quarterback and they did not go out and spend this money on Deshaun Watson, meaning he was playing for the Texans or somebody else, and you had Baker Mayfield and he was there and he was saying, look, I've got 1 year to prove myself to the rest of the NFL and maybe even to the Browns to keep me and re-sign me when my contract is over. But that's not the case. He's a rental, right? Whatever he turns into, he's a rental. Unless Deshaun Watson ends up in prison. Outside of that, the guy's a freaking four-month rental for them, at the most.
I don't know why Jacoby Brissett is not a better option than a non-motivated, non-distracting Baker Mayfield. Don't you just let him go? I mean, just cut your losses, man.
Yeah.
You're not going to... Even with Baker Mayfield, you have proven you're not an elite team anyway.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You're at very, very most a 10-ish win team if everything goes right.
Which in this conference, forget it.
And this conference, forget it. With the AFC West the way it is, just start Jacoby Brissett. Start over. Start him for those 6 games, 8 games, what have you, and then get Deshaun Watson back. Maybe Deshaun Watson can carry you to a backdoor 10-7, and then you peak at the right time at the end of the year. Baker Mayfield's not going to take you to the playoffs, especially if he doesn't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's becoming very, very, very nervous times for the Cleveland organization with this. And you wonder, did they do enough homework? Did they not do enough homework? Did they have some kind of word from the NFL on what their plans would be? I would hope that if the Browns, and they did sign him, whoever did sign Deshaun Watson, let's say the Hawks were thinking about doing that, and obviously people, there's a lot of folks that would not have liked that. We know that in Seattle. We talked to those people earlier in the year. But whoever signs Deshaun Watson is doing all of their due diligence, including A, their own investigation, which teams have people that they employ to do things like that. They have investigators. They have security teams that can do things like that. And then you meet with the commissioner, you meet with the NFL, and you get as much as humanly possible an idea on what the league's response is going to be. And maybe they said, hey, he's going to get a month at minimum. And maybe that was enough. Maybe the Browns felt like, okay, we can deal with that. We signed the guy to a long-term contract. Yep, yep. He misses 4 weeks. Baker Mayfield plays, whatever, and we'll be fine. If I'm a Browns fan right now, though, Dick, I am nervous as hell about this Deshaun Watson thing. Nervous as hell. And I got to be honest with you. I was one of the guys on the air that said I'd like to go get him if he's free and clear.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be free and clear yet.
No.
That seems to be the problem.
No, but I think you're right if assuming Cleveland management isn't completely, aren't completely morons. They would have had to get some semblance of information from the NFL saying, okay, if Deshaun Watson is at least cleared of charges, A, is there going to be a suspension? And what does that suspension look like?
Right.
I would hope
right.
that they would get, right. before giving him all that money.
Of course.
And some of that money is going to be taken away from Deshaun Watson, because I'm sure there's a clause in the contract that says, hey, if you're suspended for this, you get, you know, X percent of it or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what the NFL can say or not say. They may not say anything. You know, for all I know, they call the NFL and they say, hey, we can't tell you that because we got no idea. We can't even go on record or off the record telling you something like that. But I just feel like, everything, my take on Deshaun Watson was basically if the legal system played itself out, which it did from a criminal perspective, but not a civil perspective, if the NFL has said he's not going to get suspended or he's going to get suspended, but only for a couple of weeks or a month or whatever, I would have said, okay, if the guy's not sitting in a prison cell somewhere, you know, then let's talk about bringing him here. there's a part of me right now that's glad that they didn't go down that road, because this seems like an unbelievable mess. I don't know when this is going to get straightened out. Florio said by the start of the year, which is still 3 months away. Who knows, man? More people join the lawsuit. More women come out and file a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. This thing could drag and drag and drag and drag. And who knows when the damn thing's going to get fixed. So I'm just saying this, that, you know, my take was that if he was free and clear, and what's going on right now with Deshaun Watson doesn't sound or feel like free and clear at all.
I'm wondering why it is taking so long. I mean, Deshaun Watson hasn't played a game since January 3rd of 2021. You're
right.
Talking about
the 2020 season. Correct.
17 months he hasn't played a game. I mean, usually things like this, we've had worse situations in the NFL as far as criminal complaints, jail time, that have not taken this long.
It's crazy how long this has taken, but man, it's turning into a gigantic mess for the NFL. Wherever he goes, there's going to be protests. There's going to be more people joining this lawsuit. Who knows what's going to happen with this guy? But I'll tell you what, man, the Seahawks, it's kind of becoming clear every single day that this is your option, Geno Smith or Drew Lock. You better get used to it, because there's not going to be no, you know, Baker Mayfield walking through that door. They had their pick of any quarterback in the draft and passed on every single one multiple times. So unless there's a surprise cut in July and somebody gets let go, and even then I would say, you know what, do the Seahawks really want to go into the preseason with one guy or two guys fighting it out and then bringing a brand new starting quarterback in August? That happens when somebody gets hurt.
Right.
That's when teams do things like that, when they're desperate and they have no choice. But I think that if you're a Seahawk fan, you got to be prepared that you're going to be watching the Geno Smith or the Drew Lock show, which, as I told you last week, I think could be the worst quarterback situation Pete Carroll's had in his coaching career in the NFL.
Is it worse than T-Jack?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay. I mean, T-Jack was... Look, I mean, I'm not saying it's that much worse, but I thought T-Jack played okay in Seattle. His teammates loved him. The guy played with a torn pec, for God's sakes, and was a warrior when he was in Seattle. I think Geno Smith right now, at least what we saw from him a year ago, is worse than what I saw from Tavares Jackson in 2011.
Well, Jackson did lead to 7-9.
Right. I mean, unless Drew
Geno
Lock,
Smith wasn't leading you to 7-9 last year.
Unless Drew Lock steps it up and is a different player, then I think yes. I think compared to what he had in New England, what he had with the Jets, he had Boomer, he had Drew Bledsoe, he had Matt Hasselbeck, he had Russell Wilson. I mean, if anything, we're comparing it to Tavares Jackson. That's it.
I just want from the pure sense of, I want to see what Drew Lock is. Mm-hmm. I want him to win the job, because I think I know what Geno Smith is. And then if Drew Lock is an unmitigated disaster the month of September and he has 3 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and they go 0-4,
right.
Okay, fine.
Right.
He sucks. Good. Throw him away.
Go back.
Bring
to Geno Smith.
In. Yeah, like, you know, whatever. I just want to see.
Well, I'm with you on that. There's way more intrigue for Drew than there is for Geno, for sure. And some would say, well, why would Geno Smith want that? Because Geno Smith has no choice. Geno Smith is lucky to have a job in the NFL.
He keeps getting paid by Pete Carroll.
He's making $3 million next year. Whatever. All right? If I'm Geno Smith, I'm doing whatever the hell they ask me to do. We'll get a break. Brian Schmetzer is going to join us on the air. Took the Sounders a while to wake up on Sunday, huh? Against Charlotte. And then they fired their head coach down there. Brian Schmetzer is going to join us next in his weekly Sounders FC segment coming up on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It was a Triscuit.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, we are back. Our normal Tuesday visit at 5:45 every single week. He's here every single week. He finds a way to show up and talk Sounders FC soccer with us. No matter what's happening in his life, personally or professionally, he always makes time for his buddies on KJR And that's the head coach of the Sounders, Brian Schmetzer. How are you, man?
Well, Softy, Dick, happy to always make time for you two.
Well, we appreciate that. We know you're being paid thousands of dollars in compensation to be here, so you kind of have to be here. But we appreciate you doing this, man. Let's first of all talk about what went down against Charlotte over the weekend, because you guys win, and then Charlotte fires their head coach after the game despite being 5-7-1 with an expansion franchise. I mean, were you surprised by that? What do you make of that move by them?
Shocking. I got to tell you, Softy, shocking, because they actually played really well. I thought, you know, look, the game we won, why did we win that game? Because, okay, we gave up a goal that we probably shouldn't have, that we didn't set up our wall properly on the free kick. But, you know, we won that game because Jordan Morris and Raul Ruy Diaz are on my team, and we scored some quality goals. But Charlotte was decent. And I actually introduced myself to the coach before the game, Ramirez. He seemed like a nice man. We had exchanged pleasantries. So I was shocked, for sure.
It was crazy. And what was also crazy was the golazo by Raul Ruy Diaz. Talk about what saw there. That was one of the best of the year, maybe the best.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around that. I look at that, you know, from a purely technical soccer execution technique thing, and that's what stands out most to me. I mean, yeah, the ball goes up in the upper V, and it's fast. It's hit with pace. But he's going the opposite direction. I mean, he's headed towards the sideline, and somehow he, you know, turns his hips and swings and makes the connection with the ball, and it flies off his foot. That was technically really, really hard to do.
Well, it was amazing to watch. It was also amazing to kind of watch you guys fall down in the first 70 minutes and then find a way to kind of, I don't want to say wake up, because that would imply that you weren't playing hard or you weren't focused, but tell me about the first 70 minutes and why it took so long, you think, for that machine to kind of get going.
Yeah, I wish I knew, Softy. I might make a few more bucks coaching some places, you know, but it was one of those games where in the first half I actually thought we played really well, and we were down 1-0. We had chances. I mean, look, Jordan scored a good goal with his head in the second half, started us, you know, started the momentum switch, but he missed that one right in the 31st, 35th minute or whatever. We created a ton of opportunities. We just were missing that final little piece, that final pass. And then the second half, I didn't think we played as well, but we scored 2 goals. So there you go. That's sports, right?
Absolutely. Brian Schmetzer joining us here. Coach, you probably always watch the UEFA Champions League final, but this year's got a little bit of a different flavor because potentially you could play the winner, and Real Madrid's the winner. Did you watch that match on Saturday as a fan or as a scout?
I mean, the game was another tactical game. I mean, Liverpool had most parts of the game and possession and, you know, chances and corner kicks. But guess what? Real Madrid scored the lone goal, and, you know, they're UEFA Champions League. You know, there was also that, you know, the drama before the game. They had to delay the kickoff because of the supposed ticket scandal and stuff like that. So it was a pretty interesting afternoon of soccer at the highest level.
Well, and if you obviously that game, that match is not going to be for 8 or 9 months, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, how much time are you spending on that kind of behind the scenes? Do you assign a team of people, a couple of people, to maybe focus on that, or do you just ignore it, maybe pay attention as a fan and start to pay attention when you need to?
Yeah, we are putting that on the back burner. Softy, we're not going to think about it. We got to think about getting into the playoffs, man. That's our first objective. Once the season is over, we'll have a little bit of time to, you know, look at the opponents. By that time, we should know the final version of the tournament, the location, the time, the dates. It's going to be tough because we're not going to have a ton of preseason time. We're not going to have, you know, where are we going to find an opponent for a preseason match prior to going into, you know, what is the biggest you know, opportunity that this club has on an international scale. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got some things to think about. But right now it's playoffs and MLS.
No doubt. Well, you guys are 3-1, right, in your last four MLS matches Open Cup, you know, game with San Jose. And do you kind of feel like you're starting to maybe pick up some momentum and climbing up the standings? What do you make of the energy around the club right now when it comes to moving up the MLS ladder?
Well, it's really positive. The guys are in super good moods. You know, they have been good spirits ever since the Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League victory. Yeah, they had a little hangover, Softy. I mean, let's be honest, we did. It was probably human nature more than them just taking their foot off the gas. But I think we're back. I think we're back for sure. Again, look, we went down a goal. We had to fight, but we have too much talent. It's a veteran team. You know, we're going to start climbing up the standings for sure.
Well, because of what you just said there, that you're back, and I would agree, a 3-1 in the last four would attest to that. Is it even good time to have a 2-week break from MLS play?
Well, no, those guys, no. Well, let me rephrase that, Dick. Yeah, some of the guys were pretty happy because they put in lots of minutes. But, yes, from a competitive standpoint, they all wanted to play this weekend, and they all wanted to keep the train rolling. You know, there's guys missing, like five guys missing for international duty. So the team is a little bit, you know, split up. But, yeah, they would have loved to have played on the weekend. I think they're feeling it for sure.
Well, you got 2 weeks off before that Vancouver game, 2 weeks from tonight at Lumen. Tell me about kind of how you spend the next 2 weeks and how do you want the guys spending the next 2 weeks? If one of them wanted to take off and go to Maui or go to Mexico for a couple of days, is that okay with you? Or what's your instruction?
Yeah. I actually gave them time off, Softy, a lot of time off. Because this is the only break that they're going to have this year. When we come back, we're going to be playing three games in a week. Where it's going to be a tough schedule. So I gave them a bunch of time off. But there's a big but here. We did send them home with a little bit of a fitness plan. Our sports science guys made sure that each guy had an individual program.
Really?
For guys that maybe had played heavy minutes. They didn't do much, maybe some yoga, some pool work in the gym. Guys that didn't play a lot. Some guys are playing for Defiance tonight at 7:00 down at Cheney. I should plug that in. Wade Weber, Defiance. I mean, they do a good job. I'll have some guys playing there. So each guy has a plan for his off days.
Of the guys that are away, who will you have available against Vancouver? Will all the guys come back that are on international duty?
No, we're actually stuck. That game against Vancouver, you know, was moved because of the CONCACAF Champions League. But we won't get the players back till the following game on the weekend against LAFC. So we'll be a little shorthanded for that Vancouver match.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks a little bit, but good opportunity for some of the other guys that deserve some minutes for sure.
All right. Well, listen, man, it's always fun to have you on. Before you go, I don't think we've spoken since Clint Dempsey went into the Soccer Hall of Fame about a week ago. What's your relationship like with him? Can you talk about kind of what you and Clint kind of went through together and what he meant to you when he was here?
Well, first off, I will tell you that I watched his induction into the Hall of Fame, and I thought that was just spot on. I mean, his parents, you know, sacrificed a lot. He wanted to pay his parents back for the time and the effort and the opportunity that they gave him. And, you know, he broke down a little bit. You know, Clint is a sensitive guy. I mean, he is tough as nails, and, you know, he grew up on the streets and, you know, his whole gangster appearance, but he is a good man. He's a family man. I always enjoyed my time with Clint. I say this all the time to people who want to listen. He is the greatest American-born goal scorer that this country has ever produced. Now, is he the best player this country's ever produced? You know, you could argue that one. Hmm. But as a sheer goal scorer, Deuce was the best, my opinion.
Who's number two behind him in your mind?
Maybe Donovan. I mean, he was great at it.
No doubt. Well, listen, man, great speech for sure, and I would encourage people that missed it to check it out on the internet because it was awesome, as you said. All right, man, listen, good stuff. What about you? Are you going to head anywhere? Are you going to jump out of town for a couple of days? What's your schedule like?
Yeah, my wife and I are taking some time off, and you're actually, you know, we're an hour ahead of you.
Oh.
So you're actually interrupting cocktail hour.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure Christine will forgive you because I keep telling her that you guys are nice guys, but who knows?
Man, he's an hour ahead of us. Okay, so maybe he's in Mexico somewhere, potentially? Maybe. Are you in Denver? Where are you? Just tell us where you are, for crying out loud.
Up in Banff, of all places.
Oh, cool. Beautiful.
Nice. We just talked about Banff last week.
We literally did just talk about that. Great spot,
it's
man.
Gorgeous up here. It's gorgeous up here.
I love
really
it.
Really nice.
Well, listen, enjoy yourself and go grab yourself a couple of bottles of the most expensive wine in the house and charge your room. All right?
Okay, will do.
We'll see you, man.
All right. I could do that. Take care, you guys.
Have fun up there. There you go. That's a beautiful spot, man. That is an awesome. Have you been there, by the way?
I want to go. That's what we talked about last week.
We did talk about that. I was looking online at pictures of Banff during the holidays. Man, it looks awesome.
I want to stay at that chateau, that Weston chateau up there.
Yeah, it looks incredible. Well, good for him. He deserves it. All right, we're going to break. We got a lot to get to, including Clint Hurt, the Seahawk defensive coordinator. You're going to hear from him during the next hour. Coming up on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Headlines on a beautiful Tuesday night right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Are you serious with that question?
You need tickets for Seahawks games home and away. VenueKings.com can take care of you. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little discount at VenueKings.com. All right, Western Conference Finals, National Hockey League. Avalanche lead the Oilers 3-2 after one in Colorado of Game 1. Game 1 of the Eastern Final, Tampa and the Rangers is tomorrow. Both those games over on the A, by the way. That's 950 KJR.
So it's called the A, it's not the Deuce?
The A and the F.
Okay.
That's what we call it, the A and the F.
Reports out of Cleveland say that Baker Mayfield will not be cut by the Cleveland Browns. He will either stay on the roster or be traded.
Major League Baseball scoreboard games in progress. Guardians lead the Royals 8-3, bottom nine as we speak in Cleveland. Giants up on the Phillies 3-1, top of the sixth. Yankees hammering the Angels 6-0, bottom of the sixth from the Bronx. And the M's are shutting the Orioles out 8-0, bottom six in Baltimore.
Akeem Hicks signing a one-year, $10 million deal with the Bucks, pairing him with Vita Vea. And some sad news in the league. Cardinals corner Jeff Gladney killed in a car crash yesterday morning at the age of 25.
Unbelievable. Aaron Donald has signed through 2024 in L.A., but he said on the I Am Athlete podcast he's at peace with his career if he and the Rams cannot agree on a brand new contract.
Is that like I Am Legend?
I don't know. Is that Sherman's deal or is that somebody else? Who does the I Am Athlete podcast? There's a lot of big names on that thing.
There is. Rasir Bolton has pulled his name out of the draft. He'll be returning to Gonzaga next season. Arizona sophomore Dalen Terry, though, is staying in the draft.
And NBA Finals, Game 1 is on Thursday. Boston and Golden State Warriors looking for their fifth title since moving over from Philadelphia back in 1962. What'd you say there?
Brandon Marshall.
Oh, that's Brandon Marshall's podcast. That's right. Yeah, he's had some big names on there, man. You know what I realized, by the way? The bigger the name you are, the bigger the name you get when it comes to podcasts. It's why we get nobody, because we're both bums here on the radio station.
It was one of the more random phone calls I got. From the Seahawks when I got a call from our friend Dave Pearson who said, Brandon Marshall would really like to call a high school football game. I was like, okay, sounds good to me.
Wow.
And so we went over to Eastside Catholic, and we called an Eastside Catholic Garfield football game.
And now he's moving on, talking to Aaron Donald, and just used you as a springboard
exactly
for bigger
right.
and better things, man.
I think it's all fun.
That's what he did. Bastard could have taken Fane with him. Instead, he's flying high and taking all the reward for himself.
Right.
Well, we got the NHL finals, conference finals going on. The NBA finals is on Thursday. I told you earlier today, man, I saw that 3.5, and I just did it.
Jump on it.
I just jumped on it, man. Golden State minus 3.5 in game one. Feels like taking candy from a baby. The problem is you get nervous because when it feels like taking candy from a baby,
it's usually not.
It's not. So what am I missing here in game one? 3.5? Are you kidding me? What am I missing here?
If they made it 6, I think a ton of money would come in on Boston.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think a lot of people are going to be... A lot of people think this is going to be a long series, including myself. I think it's going 7. I think Golden State wins this thing in 7 games, which means there should be 3 to 4 games out of those 7 that are within 3 points. So you just got to hope that this one isn't one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the line was going to be much bigger than that. And by the way, speaking of the NBA draft, the draft deadline is tomorrow. You mentioned Bolton's going back to that school in Spokane. We'll discuss that with the board on Thursday, by the way, if the moratorium on Gonzaga talk still exists on this show.
Stupidity.
If it only exists during the season. So we'll have to get a ruling from them in person. We're getting together with the board on Thursday night for the first time in person at the Ram. But waiting on Timmy, waiting on Strother from that school in Spokane to figure out what the hell they're doing. I got to be honest with you, man. You see who's got the #2 pick in the draft this year?
Who has #2?
That'd be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
So would it piss you off more to see Chet Holmgren play for Oklahoma City or Paolo Banchero play for Oklahoma City?
It would piss me off more to see Paolo Banchero play because Chet Holmgren, I mean, he's not a local guy. He played...
Minnesota, right?
Yeah, he played 5 months at Gonzaga. Yes. Like you said, they were an epic failure in the NCAA tournament.
His words, not
no,
mine.
That was your, I'm quoting you.
You know what? Give me that quote, okay? Isolate that quote, put it on my wall. Thank you.
Because evidently they have gotten to the point where reaching the Sweet 16 is an epic failure for Gonzaga basketball. So I don't think there was a lot of, there certainly isn't the attachment that you would have to Chet Holmgren than you would have to a guy like Paolo Banchero or a guy like Drew Timmy who stayed at Gonzaga for 3 years.
Well, first of all, I don't care if Chet Holmgren plays for them or not because I have no connection with him whatsoever.
You're just asking me. I'm
asking
the local.
You
because
you're a fan of that team. And, you know, Paolo obviously is from Seattle, but he played college basketball at Duke. I'm totally with you on the idea that you can't have a real connection with a guy when he's on campus for 6 months.
And I don't.
And I'm totally with you. And I feel that way about Markelle Fultz. I feel that way about Jaden McDaniels. Yep. I feel that way about Isaiah Stewart. I kind of feel that way about DeJounte Murray as well. I mean, look, if you're following these guys in high school and getting to know them when they're in high school, maybe it's a little bit easier. But you know me, I'm way more about Washington basketball than I am high school basketball. And I just feel like a guy like Markelle and a guy like Isaiah Stewart and Jaden, DeJounte Murray, wasn't Marquise Chris here for a year? And then he took off?
Yeah.
I don't feel anything towards those guys.
And nor do I. And, you know, I have no attachment to Gonzaga players after they're at Gonzaga. Like I don't care what they do in the NBA, but Husky players, particularly ones that went to high school here and then were at Washington more than 1 year, I've got a big attachment to those guys.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, John Brockman, Brandon Roy, Nate Robinson, Will Conroy, all those guys we talk about. And look, Spencer Hawes is maybe different because the guy's so out there when it comes to media, things like that. But
he's such a cheerleader for Seattle basketball.
Yeah, and
too.
I just don't really have any connection with those guys at all. And I wish I did, but when the guys are barely here, or if you're here for 6 months and you go to an Elite Eight or a Sweet 16 or a Final Four and you do some damage, and then you're a legend. By the way, if Paolo Banchero is drafted by Oklahoma City with a second pick in the draft, they're going to play this clip, I guarantee you.
I grew up with the Sonics a little bit. I was like 6, I think, when they left. So I never liked the Thunder.
Oh, that's awesome.
Never liked the Thunder.
Okay, just because of that, I kind of want him drafted by the Thunder then. Just so we can play that.
That is absolutely going to be played if he gets drafted by OKC, God, I hope he doesn't. I hope for his sake the guy doesn't get drafted by the Thunder. Because I still hate their guts. It's been how many years? 14 years, is that right, yep. Since they left in 2008? And I know the Thunder are terrible. They're a bad basketball team. They're losing money hand over fist like nobody ever saw that coming, by the way, in Oklahoma City. But I really hope, my hope for Oklahoma City basketball is that, A, the curse continues to live forever, and that, B, when the Sonics do come back and they come to town, we treat them exactly like we treated Alex Rodriguez for all those years, and that you almost get to a point where you hammer a guy and you don't even know why you're doing it. You just know you're supposed to hammer him,
right?
And so I hope that Oklahoma City 10, 15 years from now, 20 years, and the new version of Sonic basketball, they've been back for a decade already, and it's just our thing that when they come here, they get smoked and crushed.
I think the reception will be even worse than A-Rod. I don't know if it can be that, but I think it'll be worse. I think the vitriol towards the Thunder is much worse, because part of the vitriol towards A-Rod was kind of contrived, because deep down in our hearts, we knew that, all right, he was offered $250 million. We offered him $95 million. Like, what would you do?
Yes.
Right? So it was fun to boo him, but there wasn't, I don't think there was the real hatred towards A-Rod that there is towards Oklahoma City Thunder, which we have never seen in Seattle sports since and will never see again.
No.
We will never hate anything worse in Seattle sports than we hate the franchise that was taken from.
Well, I think collectively you're right. I mean, maybe some Husky fans have more vitriol for Oregon football or whatever, but you're right. As a collective, whether you're a Dog fan or a Cougar fan or whatever, everybody can agree that the Thunder suck, right? All of us can say that together and feel great about that. That could be somebody's campaign slogan running for mayor of Seattle or the governor of the state of Washington, because everybody would, on average, 95% of people would totally have your back. And with A-Rod, I think what did it for A-Rod is that he said it wasn't about the money and then made it about the money, right?
He
so that bothered people. But as I've said many, many times, if I'm Alex Rodriguez and I really believe it's not about the money, and maybe when I say that, I don't think in my mind there's any chance in hell anybody's going to offer me $250 million.
Exactly.
Right? So, I'll say that because all the offers are going to be fairly equal.
Mm-hmm.
I got to decide where I want to go.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, some dipstick offers me $250 million. Well, guess what? I don't care what I said. I'm taking the money, and I couldn't care less what you think at the same time. So you're right that when Alex came back, I think people knew kind of why they were busting his balls. And then it kind of became a thing, like the whole Edgar chant, which kind of sounds like a cat call, really.
Right.
Edgar! Like, that sounds like you're trying to get underneath somebody's skin.
Right.
But it just became our thing.
Exactly.
It was our thing. So I am hopeful, like you are, that Oklahoma City, when they come to town, they just get hammered by the fans. And I think for Paolo Banchero, there's absolutely a shot he'll go number two to Oklahoma City, right? I mean, this is not a given at all who the number one pick is, number two, number three. There's absolutely a shot that he's going to end up playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that would suck for him because that quote's going to come out, for sure.
Well, I mean, it's going to be Jamari Smith, Chet Holmgren, or Paolo. So there's probably a 30-40% chance that Banchero goes to Oklahoma City.
No doubt. Well, and it's funny you bring up the Thunder topic, because earlier today we talked about Aaron Donald and how much he just crushes the Seahawks, and he's saying on that Brandon Marshall podcast, this was brought up like 10 minutes ago, now we're off on this different tangent, which I love, that he might call it quits. And I don't know, from a football perspective, I don't know if anybody has had an easier time with the Seahawks than Aaron Donald. You know, somebody mentioned Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas had 19 sacks in 21 games, but like seven of them came in one game against Dave Craig, Jose Altuve, Mike Trout, Pedro Martinez. Remember when Rex Chapman, of all people, used to just light our asses up when he played for Phoenix back in the day? So it brings up the question of the absolute number one most hated athlete to ever play against a Seattle sports team. I mean, John Elway, used to call him Horseface back in the day. You know that. That's before your time. The Bronco Busters, the Raider Busters, and maybe for people it's different from different eras. I remember as a kid just absolutely hating Howie Long's guts when he played for the Raiders.
Yeah.
For Lyle some Alzado. Reason, yeah, Lyle Alzado too. But Howie Long, he was a guy that I just felt like, you know what, this guy is not a good person, and I want him. I don't want him dead. Maybe I did say that when I was 10 years old, but I remember just hating his guts when I was a kid. And everybody comes from a different era, and they all have, you know, different people that turn them off for different reasons. But for me, Howie Long was the guy that I couldn't stand.
I bet for people that are a little older than me, Wes Unseld is a name that comes to mind. Because
you're going way back.
My dad taught me, like, hey, we don't root for Wes Unseld. He's the enemy, man. Washington Bullets, he's the enemy. He beat us in the championship last year, and we're going to try to beat him this year, and we ended up beating him the next year. So I bet anybody that's 50-plus, that might have been public enemy number one
during
for
the finals,
Seattle sports.
During those 2 years in the finals. Yep. How about you? Is there a hated athlete in town?
I hated the Rams growing up. I hated everything, and I still to this day hate the Rams. So the list goes Mark Bulger, Kurt Warner, Torrey Holt, Steven Jackson, just everybody with that Rams offense for
Marshall
about
Falk.
10. Marshall Falk. Yeah. Everybody with Isaac Bruce. Hated all of them. All of them.
Yeah, John Elway, too, was on that list also. He was a guy that just kicked our ass, and I couldn't stand that dude. I remember hearing about him complaining about the noise in the Kingdom. Remember that?
Yep.
And they actually had a referee trying to shut the crowd up, and it didn't work.
They changed the rule for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, they did change the rule for a while. And I remember thinking that John Elway is a whining, sniveling bitch. And every time he comes to town, I want someone like Kenny Easley to take him out and take him out of the first play of the game. Howie Long and John Elway, for me, growing up, were villains. Like, they were the Sith of the National Football League. They were Darth Maul before Darth Maul.
I want to see what John Elway's, maybe I don't want to see, but I am going to look up what John Elway's record was.
Well, I'm sure it was unbelievable. Well, I mean, you beat him in the playoffs. I mean, you at least had some success there.
He was 20-10.
Oxford Deason,
20-10 with 44 touchdowns, 27 interceptions, which back then, 84 passer rating back then was pretty darn good.
Well, his passer rating his rookie year was 55.
Right.
I mean, you know, Peyton Manning's rookie year, he was terrible. Troy Aikman's rookie year, he was terrible. But all those guys, I think all those guys for me dwarf in comparison to how much we hate the Thunder. And I just, the kids that are growing up now, like your son's 11, is that right?
He's 12.
He's 12 now. When did that happen? Jeez.
Oh, way back at Christmas time.
Really?
Where you been?
I thought he was like 10.
That's Aubrey.
Okay.
Aubrey's 10.
So, but the point is, he's never been alive for Sonic basketball.
Correct.
So he was 2 years after they left.
Yep.
Is
None
when
of
he
the
was
kids
born.
I coach were ever alive to watch
do
the Sonic.
Kids, do kids today, do 11, 12-year-old kids today hate the Thunder like we hate the Thunder, or is it impossible for them because they weren't a part of it?
It's impossible. He thinks the same of the Thunder as he does of the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, no.
Like, why would he hate the Thunder?
It's by
like,
the way.
He knows it's the team that so
right.
therefore.
He's aware of the history.
He's aware of the history. Yeah. But, like, why would he have any disdain for something that happened before he was even born?
I'm taking your Father of the Year award back, by the way.
Well, I've taught him.
No, you need to train him to hate the Thunder. Okay.
Well, when they come back to play the Sonics,
no, I'm
he'll
saying
get it.
He should know now. Don't you think, Jackson? I mean. You say, why would your son hate the Thunder? Because his father tells him to.
Safi, when you were growing up, did you
let the hate flow, Dixon?
Did your dad ever, like, read you know, stories, you know, in bed before you fall asleep? Right. I don't know about you guys, but my dad did for me.
Story,
right.
Sure.
So, Dick, I want you to play this every single night to Dixon.
When you hear the sound of thunder, every night to scream, just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words.
Bleep you, thunder!
You can my. You can't get me thunder because you're just God's fuss.
Every night.
Okay, what was the offer that I made you and your wife to take the kids to go see Dave Chappelle?
That's right.
On New Year's
That's
Eve?
Right.
If you play the unedited version of that song for Dixon tonight, what time does Dixon go to bed?
9:30.
Okay, I want you tonight to go grab your wife's phone or another recording device.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to see a video of you playing that unedited version for Dixon tonight when he goes to bed. I want you to send it to me. You come to this show tomorrow, I will give you a brand new $100 bill. I will just hand it over.
Really?
That's a hell of an investment. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
$100.
I have to ask.
Unedited version.
I got to ask the wife.
Well, it's not going to happen if you ask the wife.
It might.
There's not a chance in hell she'll allow that to
or
happen.
Or she might just jack up the rate.
It's a nice date night right there.
Okay,
that's a good
fine.
Date night. Yeah.
Then you come back and you tell me what it's going to cost. Don't you think the audience wants to hear that?
Yes.
All right, we got the DPI, right? I mean, nobody
what
cares about that.
What would the audience hear, though?
We want to hear you playing it for Dixon and then get his reaction.
Yes, please.
But
please.
If it has no tie to the Thunder, though, he would just be like, what is
just say, this is why we play it, because we hate the Thunder, and you need to learn. All right? It's about he's about that age where things are starting to change. You know, 12 years old, you know. All right, you know, things are happening over there. I want you to go home tonight and play that video for him. All right? And I want you to record the reaction and play it on tomorrow's show. $100 in your pocket tomorrow.
Is there, if there,
here's five. I owe you 95 more. You can take that. All right?
Do it. He's heard the F word many times.
Yeah. Of course he's heard the F word many times.
I'm a little worried.
This is
going to
be nothing. It's going to be nothing. All right. Listen, you know what? He's going to hear it at some point. May as well hear it from his dad first. We'll get a break. The NBA playoff ratings have been actually really, really good, and the games have sucked. So how do you reconcile that with horrible games that are blowouts every single night, but the ratings are unbelievable? We'll come back and talk about some theories on maybe why that is. Clint Hurt, Seahawk defensive coordinator, also spoke at practice today about a number of topics involving his new job with the Seahawks coaching staff. You'll hear from him at about 6:45 tonight, coming up on Softy and Dick right here on 93.3 KJR FM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.